Okay. We've hit a new low.
Whoosh!
No, and then I got nothing. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. No. Be better.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 536 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on in Vancouver, Adam?
It's cold.
Okay, you gonna one-up me? Come on.
It's just cold.
Did you have snow? We had snow 2 days ago.
Oh no, we didn't have any snow. It's just cold. I'm just whining. Yeah, it was just cold.
No, I'm ready. I hear you, man. I'm ready for the cold to be done. Like we had 25 degrees a week before, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, yeah. Here's some snow, by the way. And I did not put my winter tires off. I know better than to jinx that. I did not put grass seed down, even though I wanted to. Still messing with me.
Okay.
I need an explanation. Why? What's going on? Where's this global warming I've been hearing about?
I think the universe is just messing with us.
It happens. It happens every year in Germany, though. Like March is fantastic, April's terrible. The end. There you go. So okay. It's nothing new here. I'm not suggesting it's COVID related.
Okay. All right. So, just when in doubt, blame COVID, though.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Yeah, there you go. Amazon. It's on there because I haven't taken it off yet. I think they're probably gonna cancel me soon, like completely. Because right now it's only Amazon America. Is the okay. Only one that we have still functioning. Everybody else quit me, and so they're still up, I think. So I click through our site, I guess. We'll see. We're going to try to get rid of that. But Patreon, people continue to be very generous, gracious, kind, excellent, radical.
Okay.
By supporting us. So there's a link on our site. I'm working on this week on how to expand that, how to add some tiers, working on a new t-shirt, as I mentioned last week, as part of the challenge.
Okay.
I will work something out. Maybe something to do with the sky is falling. Maybe something like that.
Okay. Not a picture of my toilet, though.
No, that part's not going to make it into the beginning of the show, so this is out of context.
It should. It should make it.
Yeah, no, I'm cutting all that stuff you talked about beforehand.
And
so now it makes it weird.
Okay.
It's like, okay, that was a deleted scene? What? Who explained that one? No.
Okay.
So there's that. So just that won't be on. Maybe it's on the shirt now. Maybe we have no choice. So there's that. Anyways, to everybody who has clicked on the Patreon and helped us out, we appreciate it. And to those who didn't, you know, we're still good. I still like you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
There's that. What is going on?
I guess. Baseball. That's what we're still able to do that outside. So we have that today. We'll go play a little bit of baseball. That's it. Like not much else going on. I go to work and I come home and then, you know, a little bit of Netflix some evenings and then, and then there's baseball a few times a week as well. So, we're back to like, you know, no parents are allowed to really watch. But
at baseball?
Okay. So I don't know. I don't make the rules, but we've got our 12 kids, couple coaches. That's who's allowed to be at the diamond. So it is what it is, but it's exercise and it's outside. And yeah, I help with some strength and conditioning stuff for the team. So I'm usually there. Could we do that a couple times a week? And maybe I'll take some photos. You know what? That would be a good use for my talents is I'm going to make a commitment to taking some photos. We do, We do, like game day, they play like a 6-on-6. I think we might have talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a little kind of modified 6-on-6 game. So maybe I'll take the camera. That's actually today. That's this afternoon. So maybe I'll take the camera, take some photos. Parents will like it because they're not allowed to watch.
Right. Where do they play?
Good question.
Where do they normally play?
We move around. I think today, like, it won't mean anything to our audience, but I think today is Palmer, I think.
Oh, I didn't even know that there was a field there
for baseball. Yeah, they've redone it. They've re-grass infield, and they redid, like, they got fences, and yeah. So, no,
oh, really?
Palmer's become sort of the peewee baseball field, but we don't always play there. We've kind of moved around a bit, so.
You still play Gibbons or
sometimes, no? Nope. Sometimes Brighouse. Gibbons is too short for, so that's a 11U diamond, so we're 13U.
Ah, okay. So yeah, when I played, yeah, it was 12. It was like 12U. It was a different setup then. It was like a different age groups or similar age groups, different names. I'm not sure. So I think we played.
Yeah, they've changed it all. They've renamed everything. No more peewees, and now it's U's, 13U, 11U, 15U. That's how they're doing it now.
Of course, back then when I was that age, we were swinging, you know, waterlogged tree trunks for bats, not these drop 12s the kids are swinging. So you definitely would have made short work of Gibbons Park then too. That would have
I think that's the
with the road the there
and like the that. Roads there. So nobody wants to get their car smashed by a ball. So
no. Yeah. And then so they must play at Brighouse Park then soon.
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes they do that, but there's no fence there. So,
right.
I think they officially, they would need to move a fence in there for actual gameplay, but maybe not. Maybe they just, you hit a line drive up the middle and you get a home run.
That was always the dream, like playing there. And I played there, not 5 years or something like that. And I love that park, just right in the middle of Richmond. Traffic going by, people walking up. It's a great field.
Yeah.
Agreed. And the dream was always, can you hit it into the McDonald's? That was the goal.
Yeah, that'd be like a 500-foot shot.
On the fly. I'd never hit it on the fly. I did hit one that I did hit one in the parking lot, but it definitely bounced. It had to bounce in there.
All right, I'll get a tape measure and I'll check your accuracy on that one.
To right field, I hit the sidewalk in right field. I'm going to say it was about 350.
Okay.
That was, right. Yeah, that's about, it's about three, I think it was about 350 down the line, and they needed to hit the sidewalk. So, yeah, you've already hit it into the McDonald's. There used to be a gas station in center field, like right center, and that was the big timers. Anyways, moving on. No, okay. That's for you and the panger. That's the Richmond people. That's it.
Okay.
That's the info right there. You know how boring my life is? I went and poured cement today.
Nice.
Not that that's boring. I was okay doing it. My life is so boring, I chose that to talk about on the show.
Okay. All right.
I poured cement. Like at the baseball field, we were building the new dugouts for the kids, the kids' new field.
Yeah.
And we needed cement.
You don't get, like, somebody doesn't do this? A company doesn't come in and, like, that does this?
If they do, I'm going to feel like kind of an idiot because I already did it. We're going to have too much cement.
All right.
No, we did it. We all did it. It wasn't a giant slab. We were just pouring foundation things for some, I don't even know. I'm neck downing this one. I'm just there for the muscle, buddy.
Okay, gotcha.
But that's what I'm saying. That's an example of how absolutely boring my life is. Our baseball has not started up yet. Our first team is playing. They played last weekend. They're playing right now as we record this. But my team, the second team, is not allowed to practice yet. The kids have been canceled too this week. I think they might start next week. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay.
School. Oh yeah, school's back. Canceled again. That's what it is.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Well, for 1 week, they said we'll take 1 week off, and then but our kids are going back the following week. But they're testing the kids every day or something like that. Some deal. I'm not even sure anymore.
Wow.
There you go. Weird times.
Sure.
Reminder: monthly challenge is a vertical landscape, and you put that on Instagram, hashtag #2hosersmonthlychallenge, hashtag #heyhosers. And not only will we talk about them all at the end of the month, but for one lucky, it's not even for one lucky person. There's no guarantee that your friend, should we give him a name? It doesn't have to be his actual name, but your friend.
Yeah. And I mean, we can give him a name. Well, you go ahead and name him.
Stan.
Stan's house. Sure. He has appeared with his family in a previous Hoser's challenge photo somewhere along the line. So there's there's your Easter egg. Easter just passed, right? So
wasn't Stan Smeal, was it?
No, it wasn't Stan Smeal.
Okay.
But yeah, so he has appeared in a family photo from Hoser's history. So yeah, there you go.
Okay. But just for the listeners, if you're going to Google Stan Smeal, his last name is S-M-Y-L.
Smeeler. Okay, thank you.
Well, yeah. If you're curious to know who Stan, the Steamer, you want to know who the Steamer is?
Yeah, well, you did a hockey card mock-up, I think, one year, and you used the Stan Smeal card.
Yeah, I did.
And then you. So I don't know if you ever showed the actual card before you kind of peeled away the Stan part, but yeah, Stan Smeal has also appeared on the podcast.
Sort of. I used that. I turned it into a Tony Tanti.
Nice. Yeah.
Into a Thomas Gradin. Was the one I went with.
Obscure Canucks references happening today on the Two Hosers photo show.
I did a Dave Tiger Williams.
Less obscure, all-time penalty minutes.
Yeah, he is less obscure because he was pretty infamous, I guess.
Yeah.
There you go. Like I mean, Tiger Woods stole his nickname from him.
Yeah. All-time NHL penalty minutes leader. That's something for you right there.
Leading in PIMS right there. So anyways, your friend Stan here he's not committed to using someone's vertical landscape.
I believe
he
will.
For grabs.
It's up for grabs. And I did ask him because I saw him earlier this week. I said, you know, we talked about it on the podcast, and I said that I also committed him to, you know, buying a t-shirt, and he said no problem. So
all right,
so there you go.
T-shirts are $4,000 though.
Yes
I don't know if you know. Pretty solid markup on our end, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's all we need. Okay, great. So put those on the Instagram, and we'll get to those at the end of the month. Did you shoot anything interesting?
No, I did not shoot anything interesting. That's why I'm committing myself to taking my camera to the ball field today and taking something interesting, or even maybe not something interesting, but something. I'm going to take some photo because I did not take the camera out again. It's been definitely a little bit, difficult for me to find inspiration. Although this week, and now that I think about it, I've also committed myself. I think we talked last week about doing a photo shoot for the baseball kids. I committed to doing that Sunday night under the lights. So we're gonna, assuming that the weather is halfway decent, we're gonna go out to I think the Blundell Field, because one of our coaches has access to the lights, and turn on the lights and do a photo shoot under the lights at the Diamond at Blundell. So that's supposed to be Sunday night. So between now and next week, I got a whole bunch of interesting on deck. Of course, I might forget my camera today, and then maybe the weather doesn't cooperate so that this is all for naught. But yeah, I'm anticipating some photos to talk about next week.
Well, we'll save it for then. Did you shoot anything interesting next week?
Yeah, so let's make the segment that next week.
I did very little myself. Easter happened. I got some snapshots that are not interesting. Which is, I don't even know why I'm mentioning them now, really. Just pretty standard stuff. Do your kids still do the Easter?
Yeah, they wanted to do the hunt specifically. They were like, we're doing the hunt this week because I guess they thought maybe my wife and I figured they're aging out. So they wanted to be sure to let us know they're not aging out, nor will they ever age out.
I've been to an Easter egg hunt that your wife participated in, as did I, and her age started with a 3.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but they just wanted to be sure, because I guess, they talk about it at school, and maybe other kids saying, like, yeah, we don't do it anymore, we're too old for that. So they wanted to be very clear that there was no aging out of an Easter egg hunt. Yeah.
And your wife said, I've been doing it into my 40s. So do not worry, the aging.
She's more the hider. I did hunt though, and I'm mid 40s, so I was a mid 40s hunter.
I was there. I was kind of too cool for school, I think, that day. I was like, yeah, right. I'll whatever you guys don't find, I'll pick up. But no, I wasn't. I had a good time. I'll be honest. That was a pretty fun time that one time back in 2005.
No, I'm talking about this last weekend. I hunted.
You hunted? Oh, see, I was the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
See, we did it here. And so, like, my wife insists that no, like, the Easter egg hunt has to be outside. Like, you can't do it inside. Right.
Okay. We failed then where ours was.
Yeah. Inside. No. This is a German thing. Turns out they have rules. And so it has to be outside. Well, and also the kids get up bright and early. Like, they want to do it at like 7. And it's also very, very cold. It was 0.0 degrees. And so you can't hide them the night before because the animals will get them. Right. Those chocolate eating martyrs. And so that means we have to get up and hide them at like 5:30 in the morning. So my wife and I take turns. I do the first 18 years, and then she'll see about maybe doing it. So that's how that goes. So I'm at 5:30 in the morning out hiding eggs. And like, what am I? Come on. I just want to tell the kids, look, there's no Easter Bunny. Okay. He was murdered by Santa Claus. Like, that's what happened.
Right.
Santa Claus is in jail on death row right now for killing the Easter Bunny. So let's just get over it right now. Dad can sleep in. So anyways, we had that. It was actually a good time. My son got I built my daughter a mirror from the Easter Bunny, which is confusing to her, although she kind of knows. And then my son got one of those, what are those watches called? Like the, like not a Fitbit. It's like a Fitbit, but not a Fitbit.
It's not a smart watch,
but it's like a tracker or something.
Yeah, I have no idea. I was just gonna say something stupid.
Fitness tracker, something.
Yeah, that.
Something like that. Whatever. It wasn't very expensive, but he loves it. The kids they're obsessed with counting their steps.
Yeah, there's a phase that Sarah and Jack both cared to. They're past that now.
Yeah, I anticipate it going away soon. That's why at 15 euros, I didn't mind. I was like, all right, let's burn this watch out and see what happens.
Yeah.
But he's pretty thrilled to get that. So that was Easter. A couple snapshots, nothing good. And then the last couple of days, my son's been at the skate park with his trick scooter. He's got one of those fancy trick scooters.
Yeah.
And so he's out there with all like a million kids out there skating around.
Gotcha.
So, got a few photos, nothing I care to share. All right. Photo challenge this week is courtesy of Adam, and this is a close up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what made you think of close up?
I don't know.
Yeah, just panicked under pressure.
I had nothing specific in mind at all. Actually, I'm going to change that. I think I was inspired by one of our listener photos of like. In my mind, it was the dog, like the pug, that somebody took a close up with a wide angle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what had me, because that's what we did last week, right? Was the monthly challenge, and we were looking at people's photos?
Yes.
Yes. So that's how the podcast works, right? We do a monthly thing, and we see
every
people's
photos. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This goes out to 8 listeners, and then...
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I think that was what was in my mind. That's what I'm going to go with anyway. So I thought, oh yeah, that's a cool idea. And in my mind, I thought I'm going to do some sort of close up wide angle thing. That was the inspiration.
Okay. So let's have a look at yours. And okay. I have my first question that nobody ever asked. If you have asked this question out loud, feel free to correct me. What happened between 1930 and 1935, William Lyon Mackenzie King? What were you doing?
Yeah, I should have looked it up.
I don't even know what happened. Is it because the Great Depression? Maybe they didn't like him again? I don't even know. And then he had a, look at that run. He does 9 years, takes the 5 years off, does what I guess, I don't know, backpacks across Europe, I guess. Yeah. And then has a 13-year run. during the war. I didn't even know he was the prime minister during the entire war. I did not know that. Did you know that? Well,
no, but I looked at the same thing and I thought, like, that's a pretty good run for a prime minister, just like the volume, right? But yeah, I'm guessing I'm gonna have to look it up, who was in between there and what happened. For, you know, obviously the Canadian people did not love that little in between stretch, and so they're like, bring back William Lyon.
I think it was one of Pierre Elliott Trudeau's 9 different times being prime minister.
Oh, that could be. That's,
I think he wedged it. He was like 8 years old at the time, but still wedged it in there.
So anyways,
I should know, because we should know more. I can't name any more prime ministers. Like,
I don't think
our
listener base really cares too much about the history of.
They're just finding out that we have prime ministers right now.
And they're looking at our money, you know, and thinking like, yeah, that's why we say it's funny money. The rest of the world calls our money, like, you know, funny money. But our money is kind of awesome. Like, that's what I'm going to say here. Like, I really, like, this is obviously, you know, the modern age of our money. So it's changed a lot.
This is the lowest bill that you carry.
Yes, always. Like, always the lowest. That's minimum 50s. But our bill now, again, I don't know. I haven't seen, you know, the European money for many, many years. But, you know, it's kind of weird in that it's sort of plastic money. And, you know, we've got these clear windows. Like, this photo, I just basically, what I did is laid the $50 bill down on a white sheet of paper in a dark room. And then I did close-up light with the ring light. And then I was, because of the holograms on the bill, as you can see, like the hologram image of William Lyon and also the Parliament building, I basically just kept angling the light until I could see through my viewfinder the hologram the way I wanted. And then I just snapped it. So it's just kind of a ring light. And then the white kind of flare around the bill was just post, you know, the post-cropping vignette. Usually you know, if you're trying to spotlight effect, I use the black one, but then I just went the other way and just kind of, because the paper in the background was white, everything was white, I just kind of liked the way it faded out with sort of the white vignette. So that's all it was. It was a really simple photo, just taken with the 17-40 lens as close as I could get focus on the bill. So I tried it with the wide angle up close, and it was just, it doesn't look like a close-up anymore, because even that lens at 17 mils, as close as it'll focus, it's still too far away.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I went 40 mils, got as close as I could, snapped this. This is almost exactly what I got. There might have been a very slight crop, very minimal though. And just to get it framed the way I wanted. And then, yeah, just the post-cropping vignette and the end. So I just like money up close. I was one of those things that, I guess, I didn't invent this picture at all, but I forgot how cool the holograms are. I guess I never look at it very closely. So when I was playing around with it, I'm like, man, that hologram is creepy. And why do they have to make the exact same photo in the hologram? Could they have not just gotten something like he's, you know, in a karate pose or something different? Like, it's just
that would
weird.
Be nice. Or a hologram of Tupac playing at Coachella.
Yeah, something different. It's just weird that they chose to go with exactly the same thing in a side by side. It's creepy. And
put a bunch of French on there too. That's weird.
Yeah, but really do like our $50 bill. But the story that goes with it, should I
keep giving them to me?
should I tell the inspiration of this photo?
First of all, before you get into that, I do also love our money. I fell in love with our money long before it was our money. When
you're
Australia,
talking Canadian money though, right?
Canadian money. I love it. I love it's plastic, but I first encountered that in Australia in 2002. Well, they had the very similar, the plastic money with the see-through window. But what I liked about it is that you could go surfing with your money and not have to, like, you wouldn't, like, shove it in the toe of your shoe on the beach where no one would ever look, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could just take your cash with you out, you know, in your pocket, and no problem. Come back and it's not going to be ruined. That was why I think they made the plastic money in Australia for surfers.
Right, yeah.
So let's hear the story about how'd you get your hands on a 50?
Okay, so this might surprise you, but once in a while I do see a 50. But no, anyways, what happened was I got to work. I can't remember what day it was. I sent you a text. So probably, I'm going to say Thursday. Thursday. So I'm going to say Thursday I got to work. And there was a little... There was a little note for me waiting at with our reception. She said, "Oh, you know, someone dropped this off." And then I opened it to find a very nice letter from a listener. And it sort of went on to say, you know, "Thanks so much for doing the podcast. And, you know, I'm not interested in necessarily doing the Patreon, but as a one-time donation, I would like to donate you know, beer money," he said, "to Alan and Adam." And he had two $50 bills. He said, "Enjoy this as my donation." And who do you think that was from?
Your mom.
That's what Jack says. His answer to everything is your mom.
No, I didn't mean that.
No. The answer is the panger. The panger came in stealth mode, dropped off a letter and $100 cash as his two hosers contribution. Is that not crazy? Like, the legend of Panger grows with every day.
Oh, it grows. It deepens.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, this is, I mean.
Legends. This is legendary stuff.
If you're going to be stalked at work, I think you could do worse than the Panger.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The best part too, like, just a little subtle FP on the front of the envelope, because it had my name on it, and then I noticed a tiny little FP in the corner, which I didn't know, I didn't register, and then when I opened it,
FP Santangelo.
I wasn't sure. I just was like, it was out of context, didn't mean anything to me. And then it dawned on me that this was from the Panger. So, you know what? Panger, the envelope with the note would have been far more than enough, but I'm not going to say no to the 250s. Like, I'm not going to return to sender, but it made my day. So there you go. I hope it makes your day, even though I don't know, I might e-transfer you your money. I might not. I don't know. But anyways, you know, just the pure joy of me telling the story, I hope resonates with our listeners, because it was pretty awesome. At first I thought, oh my gosh, is this I've never had an envelope like just dropped off. Like, usually it would be stamped. If it was to something to do with the physio world, it'd be stamped. Or people nowadays just kind of make a Google review where they're like either happy with you or they're not happy with you. So the formal dropped off envelope, I was with no stamp, and I was like, oh no, what's this? I don't know. Does a subpoena come that way? Like, I don't know. I think that would even have a stamp on it. So yeah, I just didn't know what to do, heads or tails. There was a instant as I'm opening it going, what is inside of this magic envelope? And then it went from potentially fear to complete, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for?
Elation.
Elation. That's the perfect word. So thanks, Panger. Yeah. And then I went and took this photo because I feel like I had to pay homage to the Panger. So I had to, you know what I should have done in retrospect? I should have photoshopped Panger's face on the front of this 50. That's what I should have done.
Well, all you have is the top half of his head, though.
Oh, that's true. Although there's one he took of himself with a camera. I could have made that the hologram. That's what I should have done.
Okay, ignore that. If you can get this by Monday, we'll publish that one.
Yeah, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's all hat and no cattle. I get it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There you go. Thanks, Panger.
Great. I thought that was a great story. You sent me you took a photo of the letter and sent it to me. Like, wow. Like, you're like, what? My response was the same. Wow. That is pretty. That's kind of mind blowing.
Yeah, like, it really is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's. I mean, that's and that's
he also
one upping
good at. And I mean, I really enjoy bringing up the Panger almost every episode. That's my thing. It's, again, we talked about the possible drinking game of Panger references. So this week's going to be really high. People are going to get hammered.
Yeah.
But the Panger in the notes specifically referenced how he liked kind of being, you know, using his name and references to him as a way to kind of draw the hosers community together. And like, good but on
now
you,
I don't,
Panger.
Now I don't want to do it though. Now that he
mentioned it. Now I double down on it. Everyone gets drunk. I hope our listeners are doing the Panger drinking game.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Don't drive though. Don't drive after playing.
No, no way. What would Frank Pang do?
Yeah.
That's what you have to, and he would not do that.
No, he wouldn't tell you right now.
So I'm impressed that the Panger set the bar so high. So if you want to outpang Frank Pang, you got to drop at least $101 off at Adam's work.
Yeah, or at Al's work, which Nichols. Is also your house, right?
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't. Having a job sucks. That's what I'm telling you. Don't do it.
Okay.
So there's that. All right, let's have a look at mine. Okay, so here you go. The end.
So this is the picture frame that you've been making, or no, frames?
Come
you
on.
What is picture this
frame?
What is it? It's a corner of something.
Yeah, that is the test piece for I am currently. This is the woodwork update segment of the show.
Last
week.
I wish I didn't ask.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go through your wallet. See what else is in there. What's that weird ring in the leather? The woodwork update this week, I am making a outdoor sofa / bench. I don't know what you're going to call it. There's going to be cushions. So I'm guessing it's going to be a sofa, like an outdoor thing. I'll show you the finished product, next week probably. And so I needed to build like the leg arm combo. That's my plan. That's what I'm building. And so I'd never done this before. I wasn't exactly sure how I wanted to put this together. So I did a test piece with some scrap wood, and that's what this is. So it's just a simple miter joint, essentially like a butt joint, but mitered, and glued it together. And this is for the few of our listeners who do this kind of thing. So I wanted something nice and strong, but I didn't want to do a dowel, and I don't have a biscuit joiner. What's the other one called? I can't think of it.
I stopped listening. Like,
yeah, I know. I'm trying to go fast and not name all of it. Well, it's not a biscuit joiner. It's the other one. Anyways, yeah. I don't have that.
Okay.
So that would make it nice and strong. So what I did was just make a nice miter, butt it up there, and then cut a double spline in it with my splining jig that Sean Carlin kind of made fun of me a little bit for making a jig.
Okay.
He sent me a text like, yeah, I remember my first beer, buddy. And I was like, whoa, hey. Yeah, but anyways, he's like, yeah, I remember you, I used to make jigs too. But so anyway, I made a splining jig for like you said, I was using it for the picture frames. And but it also works well for legs and arms of chairs.
So okay, tell us about the photo part.
I took a photo of this double spline I did.
Okay.
And so this was put together, and then once it dries, I then take my miter saw, my jigsaw, sorry, not my miter saw, my jigsaw, and I cut the curve in there, and
yeah.
I sand it down. Now, this isn't 100% done sanding. This was just a sample, because my other one's downstairs waiting to be sanded.
I feel like you took this photo just so that you could spend 10 minutes talking about sanding and curving and jigs and stuff.
If you touch the photo on your screen, you'll find out that it's still wet. That's how recently I took this photo.
Okay.
Literally, right. I took this photo like in the first part of the show while we were recording the show. That is how recent this photo was taken.
That does not surprise me.
Oh, okay. Okay. But I regret spending 40 minutes talking about William Lyon Mackenzie.
That genius. Was your choice. That was your
yeah,
choice.
Yeah, you're right. We should have gone deeper on how you did the opposite of vignetting. We should have spent, I don't think we dove deep enough into that. So anyways, double spline.
Wait.
Yeah,
what kind of joint is this again?
Just a simple miter.
Okay.
Right. With a double spline. But see, I used a different kind of wood for the spline so that it would stain differently. You see,
right.
That's why it stands out.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like an H.
Yeah. Well, that's just sort of a disfigurement in the, like a problem with the wood in that joint there at the top. It's just got a scrap piece of wood. It's not the best wood of all time. And this is for outside. So I didn't make it out of walnut. This is just basic, just crappy lumber. I'm not even going nuts on some of it I had in the house. So there you go.
Okay.
Okay. The rest is just a photo. 50 mil lens. You know how the rest works. Okay. You know what? It'd be better if this was invisible. Oh, hey, that's a segue. As I mentioned last week, this was the 10-year anniversary of the invisible camera, which sort of snuck up on me because of COVID and stuff like that. And as such, I saw that Chris Marquardt, he sent me a text and said, hey, check out this video I did, like a sort of a reaction video going through and talking about the invisible camera 10 years later. And I said, hey, let's get on the horn. Let's talk about this. So, you know, Chris, Tips from the Top Floor, tfttf.com. I said, hey, why don't we talk about it? I'll air it on our show. You can air it on your show and everybody wins. That was the plan. So this is coming out Monday. He aired his last Thursday.
Oh, everyone's heard it already.
Yeah, he's just sniped us. Just got the... So
it's like the two volcano movies.
Yeah, except this is the one, the second one.
Right.
Yeah, this is the other one where the asteroid's coming towards Earth. Deep Impact and the other one.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other one's called. Called a Hey, I Wish That Wasn't Coming Towards Earth, Part Two. Right. So if you have listened to Tips from the Top Floor, that episode, just go ahead and skip this next part. If not, stick around because we have some fun with it and talk all about it. Be sure to check out Chris at Tips from the Top Floor. You know him. If you know our show, you know his show. So without further ado, here is the 10-year anniversary. Don't really need the one. That's just from continuity, really. The
the film guy.
It should be quiet. It should be like the two pop and then just quiet, right? Like that's how you do it. You don't actually say the one. But yeah, that's worked for 10 years with Adam and I. We've never messed up that sync. So zero sync problems in 10 years.
It's the low tech approach that works best.
Well, I also like to give Adam as little to do as possible. Fewer variables.
Yeah, for some people, that is the best way is to not have to do anything.
Right. So, Mr. Marquardt, 10 years. Like, this snuck up on me, the 10 years.
Me too.
Well, not even, I mean, the 10 years, of course, but the last year. Like, I remember about it. I remember a year or two ago, I remember thinking, oh, wow, it's 8 years or, and it was like, ah, the 10's coming up. What should we do? And then we should do COVID. That's what we should do.
Yes.
That took precedence. So maybe we'll do the 11. Ours go to 11, like Spinal Tap. We'll fool everybody again.
This completely burned my ability to ever fool anyone ever again.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, at least the people who got fooled by it or who saw it and liked it and did not get fooled by it, for a long time, for many years since then, or after we did the invisible camera, I often heard people say, "Is that an April Fool's joke? Is that?" So people were really cautious, really on guard for that.
Yeah, but people forget, and then all of a sudden, like you've gained your credibility back. So we can ruin that again next year. Do you remember before we get into the visible camera part and how that all started? But do you remember? I got more emails 1 year later from the invisible camera. Do you remember what came? I think it was 1 year later. It might have been two, could have been, but pretty sure it was one. Do you remember what came out a year after, almost to the day?
There was another thing, but what was it again?
The Lytro.
True, the lipstick camera, the Lytro, the 3D depth refocus camera that kicked off a lot of things. Yep. Yeah,
I got emails from like my old high school teacher who I hadn't been in touch with in a while, mm-hmm. and he said, "Is this you guys?" I said, "No, I think this might be real. I hard for me to know, but there's a lot of connection made by people I know anyway. I don't think the whole world stopped and went, "Hey, is this Marquardt and Attridge again?" But that happened. So I don't know. Does Lytro exist still?
Nope. Lytro did a pivot to business professional production only, and then they disappeared, and I think they got bought by Google or something.
Okay, but did the adjustable focus, the post-production focus?
That's in our phones now. That's in an iPhone with portrait mode, and you can change the aperture size and change the depth of field, and there's some machine learning part of that, but then there's also some of the depth information that the multiple cameras can capture and that kind of stuff. It's not the real light field kind of thing, but it's getting right. awfully close.
That's the computational version of that, right?
Yeah. And in the end, for the end user, I don't think it makes a difference what the technology is. The result is what counts. So unless
it comes to cameras that you can't see. And then, I saw your video.
You could clearly see the camera, right?
You could. That was the joke of it. It was not that invisible. It wasn't Wonder Woman's plane. Although that was in my head when we thought about that like 10 years ago when that idea was being thrown around. That was part of what. So I saw your video, your reaction video. And I was amused because there were some things I'd forgotten about how we shot that. And that was a lot of fun. But let's go back. Do you remember how the idea started?
I don't know. So you and I, we both were neighbors pretty much. And I think you brought this up. I give you full credit for having the idea of doing something along the lines of an April Fool's joke. But the details, no. Hey, it's 10 years later. I'm over 50. Things fade, you know.
You are?
I'm 51.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm old. I feel, and after being reminded by a few people out there that it's the 10-year anniversary of the invisible camera, I feel even older now.
Okay. So I remember going over to your old, the top floor over there in the French studio. Quarter. Yep. It's how we met actually is I was living in the French Quarter with my wife. Were we married at the time? I think so. Yeah, we were married. And so we're living there, and I didn't know anybody in the business. And my wife simply entered tubing in photographer into Google.
So she's the culprit.
Yeah, she wanted me to get off the couch. And so she Googled that and said, hey, oh, is this guy Chris Marquardt? And I said, you know, that name actually rings a bell. I had known because at the time there was only, you know, two photo podcasts and you were one of them. One of the first, right? That's Tips from the Top Floor.
The one, not quite the first. There were a couple before me, but they both faded within a couple of months after I came on the scene. And it's not my fault that they faded. There's just like, they just didn't have the stamina to keep going on a weekly basis or something.
Right. So my wife, she pointed me to you and I said, hey, you know, I know that name. The name sounds familiar. And then so I reached out and emailed you. We met at the, was it La Tour? Remember the name of the place?
Oh, yeah. Nice corner cafe.
We about 2 minutes in, you just said, hey, do you want to come on the show? And I thought, oh, like a podcast. I don't know what studio, like how does this work? Like the magic behind a podcast. And we went upstairs and we recorded an episode and I was pretty nervous because I didn't know what I was doing. And still don't 10 years later, but
same here.
They'll give a podcast to pretty much anybody. That's the good news. And so I remember we talked and then, you know, we talked about something else and I came back and I hadn't known you very long. Like it was really that must have been the end of 2010 that you and I first talked on the first episode.
Feels about right.
Right after that, I launched, the Two Hosers launched in January, the first week of January of 2011. And I was over at your place doing something, shooting something, and I saw the prototype for the Marquardt International Pinhole.
Which is, by the way, coming back.
Coming, the 10, the...
FYI.
Are you calling the MIPX?
No, it's the MIP. But let's talk about this later. Let's continue with the invisible camera first.
So I saw it sitting there. And I thought, and you explained what it was. And for some reason, I don't know why I thought of it. I thought of Wonder Woman's plane and thought, what if we made an internet version, an invisible version, and just had fun with it? You know, this was sometime sort of probably the first week of March, I'm guessing. And so you said, okay. I know you're a little bit nervous though, because you actually had listeners and something to lose. And I had nothing to lose, literally. So, do you remember being nervous?
I don't remember if I was nervous or not. Probably a little, but yeah. Why not? Why not go for it? I mean, it was very exciting. So we threw together a few ideas. You had the basic idea, and then I think we workshopped that a bit. And
well, we shot the rehearsal. Remember, we shot for like a couple of hours one day,
which was just a session winging it, pretty much.
Right, which I thought was going to be the thing. Like I fully intended that we're going to shoot the rehearsal, we're going to shoot the writing process of this, and that's going to be it, and that's going to work. And so we shot for a couple of hours, which I thought was funny because back then CF cards were relatively expensive. So we were shooting on, I think, I'm going to say 4 gig cards.
Probably, yeah.
So we'd get about 8 minutes on the 5D Mark II. And then have to switch out. Like, yeah. No, so, yeah, 8 minutes sounds about right. 8 or 10 yeah. minutes, something like that. And so we kept switching out. So we had like a handful of cards. And so I took it home and I went through all of it. And I realized that
it's completely unusable.
Yeah, what's the opposite of gold? Like, that's what we had. Like, we had nothing.
Do you still have that footage?
No. Hard drives are more expensive then, too. So I got rid of that. And it doesn't need to, like, it's not even interesting to anybody. And so I went and thought, oh, no. And so I then sat down and wrote a script about, not a script, but like a general outline of, okay, here's all the points we have to hit. Here's how it's going to shape.
So this turned into a proper filmmaking process.
Accidentally, it did.
Uh-huh.
That was never my intention.
But it was a very, very good exercise because, I mean, I learned a ton on how to approach storytelling, on how to approach making a compelling thing, a convincing thing, which, I mean, nowadays that's a skill. If you want to, I don't know, start a Kickstarter campaign or something, that's a good skill to have.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And on any level, like even if it's like a feature length level, or just a short, like it's all storytelling. Short, obviously, somewhat easier because it's short. It's got that right in the name. But yeah, so we sat down and we had a lot of fun. And remember, there's a lot of outtakes, I remember, from our conversation. But we would get it out. Sometimes I would have to feed you line by line, which was fine.
Oh, it was a very painful process for you, especially because I'm just I'm just crap with the lines. It was really a slow and very, very. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard kind of a process.
But it came across.
Well, it came across. It worked. It was, in the end, the result was good. But the process itself was, I mean, I learned a lot about how good I am at doing things, learning things by heart. I'm not. I never was.
Sure. But this kind of project was okay for that because,
It produced a whole bunch of amazingly good outtakes. So that became part two of the invisible camera.
Well, that was kind of the hardest part for me to edit because the first cut of that was around 40 minutes long. And I remember going through it. Like normally when I put anything together, like I usually cut mostly subtractive. Like I talked on the show like a few months ago about the difference between additive and subtractive when it comes to any kind of art, like whether it's sculpture or painting or whatever. And so initially,
but especially video editing, I like the approach. You assemble the thing, you have a really long thing, and then you go through with a knife and you stab your own babies piece by piece.
Okay, I had a whole different other way to say it.
It's killing your baby, sort of.
It is.
You put your heart into shooting that and writing the lines and putting everything together.
Oh, that's true. That is true. But that you. So I do two like both processes. Process I. I'm not sure how to say that. So I don't do full on subtractive. Like I throw everything in and then just start pulling away. I will start building the project, but I leave it fat, right? And so, and then I'll go in and just go pass after pass and, you know, pull out scenes, pull out shots, pull out bits, you know, just like little, like a second of a shot and slowly tighten it up so that I've gone through it so many times to like the last pass. I'll go through and I will pull out 4 frames of a shot and that kind of thing, which it seems silly. when you explain to somebody, like four frames, what is that, 1/6 of a second?
Well,
right?
30 milliseconds a frame, so it's
right.
It's almost nothing, but it can make all the difference, the tiny, minute micro timing things.
Exactly, and so we'll go through and do that. And so, but when I cut the gag reel, there was so much, and I think the first cut was about 40 minutes long, and I thought, well, all of this is gold. Like, but to me and Chris, that's it. Like, nobody else is going to care about all of this.
Even the final cut of the second part was like
long.
if I did it again this time around, I'd probably use 2/3 of it, maybe half of it.
Oh, I'd get it down to 3-4 minutes at the most. Yeah. I think it's what is it, like 10 minutes now, something like that.
Yes, like it's still fun. It was fun to revisit, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so you learned a bunch. I learned a whole lot about the internet, for one. I mean, this is 2011, and so I had not had a video on YouTube. I knew what YouTube was. Like, YouTube was pretty new in 2011 still. Not new, I mean, relatively speaking. So much so that, do you remember when I said to you in some sort of, I don't even know where this bravado came from, we talked about how many views you'd like to get. Do you remember what you said?
No, I don't.
I think you said, like, oh, I'll be happy if this gets 6,000. And which at the time wasn't terrible. Like I said, now YouTube, everything, gift openings, toy box openings get, you know, a million in the first minute, right? But at the time, that wasn't a thing. No one knew. Your parents didn't know what YouTube was.
No, of course not.
And so you said, oh, if we get 6,000, that'd be great, or whatever it was. And I said, oh, we're going to get 100,000. And you laughed. You said, there's no way. And I didn't actually know. I really didn't. I didn't know how. I had nothing to base that on. It just felt nice. I felt like 100,000 would have been awesome.
Yeah, we finally got that. We're up at 131,000 at this point.
We hit 100,000 pretty close to around that time. Like it went up pretty quick. But that was my introduction, because at the time, I barely knew what YouTube was. I did not know what Twitter was. And I mean, Twitter wasn't what Twitter is now, I don't think.
No, it was the happy days of Twitter.
It was the Fonz was on Twitter. So do you remember when we went live with it?
I do, yeah.
Do you remember me? Tense. You know who I am, right?
It was tense.
It was, because that's what I say. You were a little bit nervous, if I remember, because you thought, yeah, I'm gonna catch heat here from some people. Well,
and of course, what we did is we released that a week before April 1st.
Just yes.
To add a bit of to make it a bit more convincing. And that rubbed a few people the wrong way.
Yeah. which I loved. So for me, so you had a Twitter account. You had Twitter followers at the time. Like I said, I didn't know what Twitter was. I didn't have a phone. Like, nothing, none of that, right? And so you hit go. We hit publish on YouTube. And then right away, you sent it out via the Twitter sphere.
And we watched the applications coming in for the field test.
That was separate, yes.
Yeah, but that's what we asked at the end of the video. We asked for volunteers for the field test. And mm-hmm. that was, I believe, a Google form. So we could see them come
right.
in piece by piece, watching the spreadsheet. Filling up with applications, which
that came in fast. But what blew my mind is that when you hit publish and then on Twitter, well, the video is like 6 minutes long. I don't remember, something like that.
6:40 is it's 6:40. Yeah.
2 minutes after you hit Twitter, well, you were getting responses back saying, "I'm watching this. Oh, Mom, oh my God, my mind is blown." People mm-hmm. were tweeting in the middle of watching it for the first time, which, you know, which kind of really, really messed with my head. Like, I didn't understand how that worked. I sound like such a hick. I'm from a big city.
I am from Vancouver.
You sound like you're older than me.
Hey, Ma, look at that pointy-haired little girl. But watching that spider web, and you had some sort of a tracking software or something that you could watch and you could see who was tweeting or retweeting, or I don't remember at the time. I remember maybe you made it up. I don't remember. But
I think I just looked at the stats and had the mentions of it on the screen somewhere. It wasn't anything sophisticated, but it gave us a good idea that was actually generating some interest. And then shortly after, it ended up in a few blogs. I think Petapixel wrote about it and a couple of others, bigger publications. Right. So it got more distribution.
Yeah. That was the funnest part for me, is because first of all, at the time, I had no idea what Petapixel or F-Stoppers was.
Yeah.
And you'd said, oh, yeah, like this is cool that they've picked this up. And I'm like, oh, I'll take your word for it. Like, that's fine. And so they picked it up. I think they knew. We didn't contact them. They just, somebody saw it and put it on. You didn't contact them, did you?
No. It happened organically.
So they saw it. They evidently got the joke, but still ran with it. Yeah. Like, good for them. Like, I was really impressed later on. I thought, wow, good for you guys for running with that. And because it could have made them look silly if it, you know, or anger their readership or et cetera. But they, good for them. But what really kind of blew my mind at that point was them, those two, and then there was like a handful of other ones that had published the story and left the comment section open. Mm-hmm. And those started to fill up. And so what blew my mind was going back, and I started reading through the comments. You told me, do not comment. You said, never, ever, ever, don't feed the trolls, don't comment. And so I never got involved, but I read it all. And there were people arguing about the technology and yes, of course it will work. And there's this, and what about this? And oh my God. And I thought, people around the world are arguing about what's inside my head.
Strange feeling, isn't it?
That was very strange to me. Like, they're arguing the merits of something that we made up out of whole cloth.
I mean, having looked at it back, I mean, of course, I can't fool myself, but looking at it, it starts really grabbing you in the beginning. It's really well crafted. It pulls you in. It hints at things, and then it stays believable for about, I'd say, about half the video, especially if you don't have a scientific if you don't have a scientific background, if you're not a nerd, if you're not a geek real deep into the things here, it stays believable for a long time, and then once that hook is in, that's when we start, that's when the video starts kind of becoming a bit less believable and a bit more crazy. And
it did, but I remember, you know, when we were coming up with the story, and I said, okay, well, here, when we lie, we have to go big. We can't just make something small, because that's not believable. If we go so big, over the top, and then be very specific. Which, yeah, you did. I mean, you ended the gigapixel race.
Oh, we ended the gigapixel race. We ended the realm of the terapixel.
Football fields.
We invent football field-sized sensors, because you measure things in football fields, apparently. There's directional desensitization, which I think, coming up with that, we tried four or five different things, and then that's the one where we both... We had to have this big grin on our faces, because that was just too good. And the whole, yeah, it's a bit like a little boy drawing a car with 10 rooms in it and letters and things. You know, it's like making up something that you want to have, that you want to be a reality. And that's what we did, because it would have, I mean, that technology would have been amazing if there was any way for making this into existence. By the way, there's another trans. Okay, so this was a plexiglass box that we used as a prop here. There's another plexiglass box that actually was a camera a bit later. Do you remember the red one? Someone, Okay, so someone used a red plexiglass box with a lens and put orthochromatic film in it, which doesn't see red. So
okay,
you can actually watch a piece of film be exposed through the outside of the box because the film doesn't know what red light is. So
okay,
that is an actual thing that happened a few years later. And I saw this and I was like, wow, we should have
sued. we can. Well, that's the funny thing was one of the reasons that we wanted to, I wanted to, and then you agreed, or that was your motivation too. It wasn't to fool anybody, and which I felt a little bit, not bad after, but that some people took it hard, and I thought, well, that wasn't the intent. The intent was when you were a kid, we were both around the same age, and I remember when I was a kid, every so often there would be something truly magical in terms of technology or transportation, like the space shuttle, or something would come along that would absolutely blow your mind, you know, if you spent 2 seconds thinking about it. And there sort of became a stretch where that stopped, where the lots of amazing innovations are coming or are happening, but
you lost that sense of wonder.
Well, last year, you know, the CIA or the Pentagon announced, yep, there's aliens, and everyone went, yeah, all right, fine, you know, and like, no one cares. Whereas could you imagine?
I
kind of do, but you know, it's like if you found the Ogopogo, you'd wanna see it. But now, no, of course it's Lake Okanagan. I'll send you some links to what that is. But it's
go ahead.
It's the Loch Ness Monster of British Columbia.
Ah, okay.
So that was our idea, was like, you know what? Like I long for that sense of wonder from when I was a kid, or that amazement. So let's give the people that, even if it's for a short time. But some people didn't find that.
Even though we put so much effort into trying to handle that plexiglass box without putting fingerprints on them, which was impossible. My favorite shot, and that's the one I used for the thumbnails and that I keep using, is the one against the sun up in the forest behind the place you lived, where we did where we shot the in the field chapter or act. And there's this shot that you shot it through. Okay, so through the trees, the sun was setting, and you shot against that light with me holding up that box and looking in wonder and amazement at the box. And I use this as a thumbnail, even though every time I see that thing, the only thing I see is a million of fingerprints on that box, because it was impossible to work with that thing without it getting smudged up.
We should have had gloves. That would have been the move. Written that
white,
into
white,
the
white Mickey Mouse gloves.
I do also love the fact that the pinhole, the metal pinhole, was not fixed into that. It was just gravity held it in there.
It was an eBay bought skink pinhole holder, made from steel, and I tried to find a good way to wedge that into the hole, and there wasn't a good way without it showing on the video. We could glue it in or anything. It was only held by gravity, which also explains why most of the time when we show the camera, it's leaning forward a little bit, because otherwise that pinhole holder would be falling out.
Right.
It didn't have a tripod thread, so we had to lodge it on top of the tripod in a way that it would just not fall off, which it sometimes wanted to, and wipe it off all the time with a cloth because of the fingerprint. It was crazy.
Did you get blowback from any of your friends?
A couple for a short time. Someone was like, yeah, no, that was not funny. But a few weeks later, that evaporated and just turned into chuckles. So no hard feelings from anyone.
I had two pretty big blow-ups with my, because I didn't tell anybody. The only person who knew was my wife, and I think I told my dad. I was telling him while we were doing it, and that was it. I didn't tell a single other person. Even after we sent it out, I didn't tell anybody. So I have a really good friend of mine who now lives in Sydney, Australia. He was living there then. He's been there for quite some time, and he had moved to Sydney, Australia, and so he was there, and he was in a camera club, and when he found out about this, like, I emailed him the link, said, hey, check this out, what project I'm working on with this guy. And he went to this camera club and told everybody about it. My buddy's done this. They all went bananas. They thought it was the greatest for a week. And then it came, and then I think he was not really invited back to that camera club. They were pretty mad at him for some reason. So he sent me a very, very nasty email. Hey man, how about a heads up for your buddies next time? And then another buddy of mine I went to film school with, and who was living, he was living in Victoria, British Columbia. He was working for the news studio over there, TV station. And he told all his buddies, all the camera guys, holy cow, check this out. And not only did they love it, a number of them signed up to be field testers.
Mm-hmm. So we had a whole interesting roster of people signing up to be field testers.
Yeah. So he didn't talk to me for about 6 months after that. He was really, really angry.
Wow.
But the field test part, like, and so that to me, that was the fun part. Do you remember how that came about?
How what came about?
The field test.
Well, didn't we just want a way to gauge engagement and interest?
I wanted to give people a sort of like an action step. Like,
yeah.
Is not just interest. Like, obviously it's interesting, but to convince people that, hey, you could be part of this. Do you want to be part of this? Will you take the next step? Will you walk away with this? When you walk away from your computer, will you still be engaged in this? And then you said, hey, plus we can mine a bunch of data, is what you said.
Yeah, but we never did. I mean,
no, you didn't say that. Come on.
No,
you
I
never
didn't.
Said mine data.
Because what we did is after we kind of, came clear with the truth, I distinctly remember sending out an email to everyone who signed up as a field tester and apologizing for for the prank and assuring them that the database, the emails and everything is going to be deleted and it's gone.
The data mining had never occurred to either of us at the time, because I remember reading about it online after thinking, it's just a way to get email addresses. And it's like, no one uses email.
I remember when it was out, for the week it was out, about a week, that I got a very stressed out phone call from Michael, the friend of mine who back then owned the online store for film and chemistry and development stuff, who played the film chemistry guy in the video, because I think I had asked him before. We had the idea, and then it was a bit of time, and in between I held a workshop together with him, and I asked him if he wanted to be in our prank, and he's like, yeah, sure, no, why not? And then we shot that on the spot with a horrible camera, horrible audio, but you did the English voiceover, so that kind of fixed it, and he was happy to oblige. And then when the whole thing started blowing up, he got contacted by some of his customers asking about it, because they recognized him. So he called me, and he was quite stressed out about this, because he was afraid it would tarnish his reputation, and that and the whole bunch of people, like, we had on the field testers application list, we had scientists, we had teachers, we had people.
Special effects from a very, very,
very
large
franchise.
Yeah, I franchise is the way to put it. I tell people offline. I'm not telling it online who it was.
Yeah, someone who is like either head of special effects or very high up in special effects in that franchise, writing us that this I need to get my hands on this. Even if I don't make the first 100 that you said would get into the field test, I will do anything to get my hands on this. And
that was my uh-oh moment.
And we had a few of those, not that high profile, but a few of those where I went did we go too far? Did we overstretch that? And a week later, on the 1st or the 2nd of April, I think we pulled the plug and took it offline.
It was on April 1st. We did it. We did pull it on April 1st. We put it out there, which, so I remember some people being angry that we didn't put it out on the 1st. at the reveal.
Yeah, but that would have given it away.
Yeah. Yeah, next year we're doing it in November. Like, just sit tight. We'll do whatever. But I honestly can't believe it's been 10 years. It's something I do show to people every now and then. Like I've had people ask me about it and tell their friends, and they're like, "Wow, people who aren't even into photography just think, well, that sounds awesome." Like, wait for it.
Well, it does sound awesome. Yeah. You know, one of my inspirations was Kubrick, Nixon, and The Man in the Moon,
which you told me about after, and I have seen it since.
And because I don't even know if that is the original name of the documentary, but it's in Germany, and it's a documentary, mockumentary that isn't. Like, it's a prank pretty much about how the moon landing was staged and how Kubrick was involved and Nixon and so on. And that really, a couple of years before we shot this, that totally got me, because it is exactly the same pattern. It starts off being very, like, mysterious, and they did such an amazing job editing together interviews. Mm. Out of context pieces of interviews and putting them in a new context, and it was so easy to believe. I mean, one of the things, for example, when we added in the Max Planck Institute into our video, and because that's a very convincing thing there, and there is a Max Planck Institute in Tübingen, so there's absolutely some truth there. And a friend of mine worked there, and we tried to shoot there, but that wasn't really a way to do that. But what we then did is we just shot the sign on the outside, because that's in the public.
They let us in. I remember, because I was confused when I saw your video. We went inside.
We were inside. We did shoot a bit. I think that one snippet of an oscilloscope, hands-on an oscilloscope, is from in there. But
they said we couldn't use anything, they said.
But my friend then went to his boss, just because he wanted to be on the cautious side, and he asked his boss, and his boss said nope.
Right.
So we did use the oscilloscope thing, but yeah, no, I think that's not gonna be harmful anymore. And we shot the sign on the outside, which says in German, it says Max Planck Institute for Development Biology.
Right.
Which is, yeah, but it says Max Planck Institute, and your neighbor, what was his name again?
Jürgen.
Jürgen, who posed as a scientist from Max Planck Institute.
Yeah, he sold books. That's what he did. He worked at a bookstore. So
right,
the one piece of made up information that turned out to be true. I don't even know why I chose him, but I chose Jacques Cousteau because it sounded cool. I loved the name. I loved the name.
Yeah, Jacques Cousteau. Jacques Cousteau, deep sea exploration. You need very sensitive cameras down there.
Yeah, but it hadn't occurred to me. I never made that connection. I just thought, oh, it'd be funny to throw in an obscure name, you know, a French guy, and who knows, throw it in. Turns out they were doing some work with low light stuff at the bottom of the sea, with some sort of, I forget the name of it, the snake eye or something like that.
Yeah.
Serpent's eye, eel's eye. Rattle off names until everyone stops listening. But it turns out he'd been doing something, and that struck a chord. I saw a number of comments of people discussing, oh man, maybe they're piggybacking on his work. And I thought, oh, we are not, actually. It's a complete coincidence.
There is no. Okay, I'm just trying to find it online, but I eagle can't. Eye.
No, it's got to be a fish related something.
Jellyfish eye.
we'll figure it out. But
so we got a bit of heat for it, and again, for years and years, whenever I released anything near that time frame, people came back with, "Is that a joke? Is that a joke again? Is that another invisible camera?"
Well, totally worth it, in my opinion. I think it worked out for you. I mean, you'd said that for every listener that you lost, because I remember you showing me some emails or messages you got, people saying, "That's it, I'm never listening to you again." But for every one of those, you got 10 new listeners, I think. So it kind of worked out.
It helped. It certainly helped to cement some some status.
Sure.
I'm not sure which one, but it's okay. I think it's good to be famous for something. Doesn't really infamous. Matter what it is.
Or infamous is better. Yeah. Sure. Hey, I'll be famous for literally for anything. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to pick nits. So, well, Chris, that's it. I have no ending to this. Do you have an ending?
Well, there is a link to the little video I shot, which yes. is a 10-year after reaction video where I delve into some of the behind the scenes stuff as far as I remember, and I might be horribly wrong in some areas as I just realized during this talk. But
no, you're very still. Accurate in what you talked about. I went and watched it, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And I think I watched it as much to figure out how much you remembered and see how much could be obscured through time. But no, that was pretty much it.
So for anyone who listens, if you want to prank a friend who hasn't seen it yet, just send them the link to the first invisible camera video without a comment telling them, hey, that's awesome. And then get their reaction. And at the end, it links and in the description, it links to the second part, which is the blooper reel. So that will certainly shed some light on it.
And check out Chris's reaction video too if you're listening. I put it up in our show notes from our show last week. I'll put it up this week when this episode airs, but definitely check that out. All right, Chris, see you in 10 years, I guess.
See you then. Take care.
And we're back.
Enlightening stuff. How many times did you mention Panger on the segment?
No, he doesn't make it in there. I should have worked his name into that.
Yeah.
You have to start working his name into random conversations with people, but act like they should know his name.
Yeah.
Like just with your buddies go, it's like the Panger always says. Here's $50. That's what he says. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's not a good saying, but I like it. I get $50.
Right.
Yeah. Just work it in.
That hey, and, or anything that you pay for. You basically try to use a 50 and say, courtesy the Panger.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to work that out for the t-shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. If we end up doing a shirt with the Panger, he's definitely getting a free shirt out of the deal.
Oh, of course he does. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely buying a Panger.
Yeah.
Okay. We're working that out. We're going to brand him. Trademark it. All right. So, we need a challenge for
one
for next week.
Action.
I was gonna say that, and then I thought, you know what? Since you've been shooting everything within 4 feet of your desk, my challenge was get out of the house.
Yeah, that too. I just was thinking, hey, I will be bringing my camera to the ball field today. Action. That so I'm setting it up for myself. But either way, I'm out
what
of the house.
What if there's action in the house though? I can't have it.
No,
it is action. Get out of the challenge is get out of the house. That's the challenge.
I'm shooting action.
Do what you want as long as it's not in your house.
Okay.
If someone decides to surf down the stairs in your house, that is ineligible.
Okay, got it.
Get out of the house. That's for next week. The monthly challenge is vertical landscape, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. Adam. Still just the Instagramming. No website for you.
No, I do try to go on the Instagram though. Once a week at least is my goal for myself to check out what listeners are posting and commenting and whatnot. So yeah, Instagram. Feel free to drop me a message, say how great I am, love my photos, although I don't post them very often. Whatever. You know, the Instagram chit chat. The little Instagram chit chat.
That's Adam setting his thirst trap for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just found out what a thirst trap is.
Oh, I didn't. I just thought you made it up.
You're learning it. No. Yeah, I made it up.
Okay.
It's no, it's a thing. Apparently it's a thing. You have to have abs though.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not getting involved just yet. Thank you, COVID. Blame COVID. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.